If you will, can you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8. And let's look at verse 22. We'll just read on down. We'll go to verse 22 and read on down to the matter at hand here. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travails in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. This is what we've been looking at over the course of a few months here, and we're going to look at this here. What we're looking at here is a section in itself. And when you get right here to verse 26 here, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We were told earlier that hope doctrine in verse 22, or verse 22 through 25, helps our infirmities, because we are operating upon a hope and patient doctrine, which is designed to help us, because we know the whole creation is groaning and travails in pain. The creature, as in verse 20 says, actually verse 19 and 20 through 21 says, how that creature is also has an earnest expectation. They're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So they're operating upon a hope doctrine. You know, and that's the angelic realm, and everything else that's not the earth is considered the creature. It's all under the bondage of corruption, and it's operating upon a hope doctrine. So we're told that we ought to operate upon that also. Then when you get to verse 26, you see Paul says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, meaning the hope doctrine and patient doctrine is designed to help, but this is something that ought to help, is going to also help also, which is the Spirit. When we looked at how the Spirit helps, that Spirit is the Word of God, and how that helped Paul. When Paul didn't know what to pray for as he ought, in 2 Corinthians 12, when Paul said he besought the Lord three times that something might depart from him. Well, Paul at that time did not know what to pray for as he ought. But when that word came to him, the word of the Lord taught Paul how to pray as he ought, taught Paul how to pray. When he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. So, and we looked at how the Spirit makes intercession for us, and the groanings which cannot be uttered. And we looked at those things. I'm just giving you a little recap of these things here, and how all that ties in together with the groaning. When Paul even says in verse 23, even we ourselves groan, where? Within ourselves. And now we're looking at verse 27 here. This is the verse at hand here. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We're going to look at this verse if time permits. We're going to try to deal with this verse today and get this. So next week we'll go over verse 28 there, or introduce it at least. So verse 27 here again, he that searcheth the hearts. Now, we know that's God. God searcheth the hearts. He searcheth the hearts of the saints. And he says, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Now, that's what we're going to deal with today. So if you will, turn your Bibles to, we'll deal with the issue, again, of the searching of the heart there and the mind of the Spirit. And then in that, we'll know how to deal with this other issue down here that it says he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now again, let's come to the book of Psalms. Let's turn back to the book of Psalms and let's look at Psalms 44. And we're going to look at the whole issue of the searching of the heart that the Father does with the sons and daughters. And I said before the saints, but that's what a father does to his son or his daughter. He searches the heart. And I'm going to go over that, but let's turn again to Psalm 44. Let's look at verse 18 and see how that takes place there. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death, if we have forgotten the name of our God or stretch out our hand to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. I know verse 22 sounds familiar to you because that's over there, and you see the same verse used in Romans chapter 8, verse 36. And, you know, sometimes in the grace movement, we oftentimes, because we understand Pauline doctrine, some would say, hey, what are you doing over there in Psalms? What are you doing teaching from Psalms or the Proverbs? Paul does the same thing. Paul did the same thing in Romans chapter 8, verse 36, and so on. Many times Paul says, as it is written. And Paul doesn't shy away from going back to the scriptures. You have to understand, before the book of Galatians or Thessalonians was written, what did those Gentile saints have to go on? They went upon God's word. They went back to God's word as an example. You're told that we're supposed to use that these epistles, that the Old Testament is for our learning. And it's for our learning so we can understand, in this particular instance here, the father-to-son relationship. That's what we're doing here. We're going over, we go back to the Psalms, we go back to the Proverbs, we're looking at the father-son relationship. There's no doctrine that we're going to pull out of there to live our life by, but you look at the, because you're given that from Romans 2, Philemon. But what you see is the father-son relationship there. Look at what Paul says over 1 Corinthians 10 when it talks about sanctification. Paul says how that our fathers all passed through the sea, and he tells you about what happened unto Israel for our example, our moderation. I mean, it's given on to us to use it the way God designed to use it. But looking at this here, let's got off the subject there, but in verse 18, Psalm 44, verse 18, he says, our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way, from God's way. See, this is the son speaking that's mature, that understands some doctrine. He's not going in the ways of the evil man. He's not going in choosing the other path. He has many ways to go. But he says, our heart is not turned back. And that's crucial in understanding about that heart. When God searches our hearts, now when this saint is saying this, God knows that. When God searches the hearts of the saint here, he knows that this saint, that what he's speaking is truth, that his heart is not turned back. I just said it again. But when you look at verse 21 here, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted sheep for the slaughter. These guys were going through the same thing. When you look at Israel's program, when you understand that, and in order to understand it, you got to go back and read it for the ones that think you don't have to go back into Israel's program. But when you understand that, you know about those five courses of punishments that Israel was going through. And you understand the five installments that they were also going through. And you see here in verse 22, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Well, these were saints that understood the necessity to suffer. They understood what that meant. And he says in verse 18, our heart is not turned back, meaning because they were going through sufferings unto death. They were suffering where they despaired even of life. But some did not turn their heart back because they operate upon a proper doctrine. Now come to Psalms 139. Take a look at Psalms 139. Let's look at Psalms 139. Let's just go to verse 1 here. Psalms 39, verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Now, you see what's being said here it's written here by David here. He said, thou hast searched me and known me. It's not that God's going to search there. He knew him. Thou knowest my down city, my uprising, understand my thoughts afar off. Even if he thought that the Lord wouldn't hear him, or he still understands his thoughts and his ways. But verse 3 here says, thou compassest my path, and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. See, because the compass is, when you compass something, a path, you map it out. You do it by design. Am I lying down and art acquainted with all my ways? See, the Lord is acquainted with his ways because it's like father, like son. He's doing the same thing. He's doing it as if the Lord would have did it himself. That's why they're acquainted together. For the verse 4, there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. His words is the Lord's word. Thou hast been set behind me and before, laying thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is wonderful for me. See, there's a lot of people in that day would not, and today, that would not say this, that such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? He knew one thing, that how important the knowledge of God was. And another thing, when you're looking at the book of Proverbs here, you see words like wisdom, wise, knowledge, you know, many other words that have to do with understanding, you know, and understanding. It deals with the word of God. I mean, you look at, you have like 19 times the word of path is used. The word path or path is used 19 times in the book of Proverbs. Or ways. Ways is used 85 times. And that's to describe either the way of the Lord or the way of the evil man or the evil woman. The evil man is the evil people of today, that the world that you go after. The evil woman is the doctrine, bad doctrine. You look at the word wisdom, that's used 54 times. Understanding is used 66 times. The word wise is used 70 times. And evil is used 50 times. I had a little time on my hands to look that up, so that's why figured I'd let you know that there. But let's come to Proverbs. Let's come to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. And again, when we're looking at the Proverbs, we're looking at the Psalms, we're looking at the father-to-son relationship there. And the things that are written is written for our learning. And again, we've seen examples how Paul said, as it is written. And we've seen a verse where Paul used it. Paul went back there himself. Proverbs chapter 20. Let's look at verse 24. Proverbs 20, verse 24. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the wheel over them. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. And you see, verse 24, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? See, what's being said here, it's being said in a sense where that's the way it ought to be. Man's goings should have been of the Lord. And how can a man understand his own way? That's not the way it was designed to be. It wasn't designed that a man would go his own way without the Lord. You know, that's like if in the garden, when God put Adam in the garden and Eve, what if they just left and said, oh, well, let's just go. And I'm pretty sure God would communicate unto them, but you know, they said, hey, let's just go search out things, you know. Hey, that Lord is okay, but let's go make our own way. It's not the way it was designed to be. Let's come down here to verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. And see, that's the way it's designed to be. It's designed when God searches the hearts of the man and the woman, the mankind, this is man, means mankind, it's as if, you know, it's a light. And the Lord is looking within, searching all the inward parts of the belly to know what's in your bowels, to know what you got in your inward man, to know if you have the will of the Lord in there, the spirit, if that's what you're operating upon. And that's what God does. He searches the hearts of the saints, of his sons and daughters. Now let's come on to Jeremiah 17. I hope we got a good handle on that verse there and what it means about that spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord. All you have to do is just think of a person, just think of the Lord holding a candle. But that man, the spirit of that man, is that candle. That's in searching all the inward parts of the belly. And we need to understand that's what happens when the Lord searches the hearts of the saint, whether it was in Israel's program or whether it's in our program. They were just operating upon different doctrine, but the Lord search the hearts the same way. Let's go over to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, let's look at verse 7. Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doing. Now, what I'm after here is, you're looking at verse 7 there. It says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. That's what the man ought to trust in, not trust in this world, not trust in the deceitful things the heart can come up with, like verse 9 says. The heart is deceitfully above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's what the natural man's heart operates upon. The natural man's heart operates upon that. But if we're going to look at verses that tell us that we ought to enlarge our heart and how our heart ought to be, it ought to love the things God loves. And like it says, the heart is deceitfully above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Because we're going to, when you look upon the reward that we're going to get, and we can look at that verse later on, about how having that reward based upon the suffering that you do or you don't do, the works that you do or you don't do. You're still justified, but you're going to be rewarded based upon your work, based according to your ways, according to your doing. And this is what's being said here to Israel. But when the Lord, and notice it says, I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. This is the way God operates upon us also. But he's not punishing us or cursing us like he did with Israel. With Israel, it was a physical punishment, a physical cursing. They were cursed in their land. They were cursed in their body. They were cursed in their finance. They were cursed all the way around. And it was based upon what the nation did as a whole, why they were going through those punishments. And what they also went through, what they also did. But now let's come to 1 Corinthians. Let's come to 1 Corinthians, and let's look at the whole issue of that searching, how God searched the hearts, and how we see here where it says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's look at verse 9. And again, folks, you're going to see another, but as it is written. There's going to be another time Paul goes back to Israel's program. And I see, I've heard people say it all the time. They'll say, hey, what are you doing back over there in Israel's program? What are you doing over there in Psalms? Or what are you doing in Isaiah? Paul does it all the time. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now you see here it says, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them. That, you see how that heart is? The heart of the natural man we've seen in Jeremiah 17 is deceitfully above all things and desperately wicked. But that's not the way it was meant to be. It was meant to be whereas God would tell me, God would teach man what he loved. God would teach man the thing, the way he thought, how he did things, and how to labor with him and what God is doing. That's what the design was about there. But instead, Satan came along and he educated man in what he loves. And he educated man in what he hates. So in turn, today you see men today, what do they do? And what do they do in that day? They think like Satan. They do things Satan's way. And they work together with him in what he's doing. Men today love to do desperately wicked things. Men take pleasure in deceitful with their hearts being deceitfully above all things. These are things men take pleasure in, and women take pleasure in these things, and not understanding, and what they're doing, they're going after their own ways, and they're taking fruit in their own doings. But again, when God searches our hearts, He wants what He wants to find. He wants to find His knowledge in there. He wants to find what He's taught us in there. He wants us to be as the proverb says about when thy heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice. And we'll look at that. We'll get to that. But right now, you're looking here at second, First Corinthians here. That heart of man is what ought to enter into the heart of man is God's word, and that's His Spirit. Now let's see how that's done. Verse 10 here, First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us how? By His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now I'm going to stop there because now it's saying the Spirit searcheth all things. It says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. And that's the things of God. That's the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. As you see in verse 9. The end of verse 9 it says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, what? The things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Those are the ones that have that agape love as we looked at weeks back. Weeks back we looked at about how to have the real love for God. That selfless love as Paul displayed. When Paul says, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. For when I am weak, then Christ strengthens me perfect in my weakness. That's agape, unselfish love, real love. And that's what's being spoken to, the things that this is what God's prepared for them that operate upon this. And this is, you see, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, by His Word. That's how God hath, notice, hath, past tense. And some people think that you can pray and God's going to give you wisdom by just sitting there and praying, and that it's going to happen by you opening God's Word. And then you come to God in prayer and say, this is what I've learned. This is your knowledge, just like we see in the Psalms, when it talks about your knowledge being high, and knowledge, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Things like that is what we ought to say when we get the knowledge. Not that we can't attain unto it or we never will, no. That's the value we place upon it. It's just that high. It's just that valuable. And it says in verse 10, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, how does the Spirit search all things? It does it because God's Word is doing the searching. It compares spiritual with spiritual. Because a lot of times when we have decision making, when we go to make a decision and we say, well, I wonder who should I marry or if I should pick this job or what will I do in this situation here? When you compare spiritual with spiritual, as we're going to see later on here in the next verses, the Spirit of God is going to be acquainted with your spirit, as we've seen earlier in the verses earlier, that you're going to be acquainted with God's word. That's where your inner man is going. It's going to be mirrored one after the other. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? And that's true, because man's only going to know what the natural man knows. And then what you're going to say to him is foolishness. You're going to say, when you speak the words of God's wisdom, he's going to say, what do you mean? What? You know, you mean to tell me, you know, you're listening to a Bible study when the new season premieres on of whatever, or the game is on, the playoffs are on right now, and you're doing this? Are you crazy? They're going to think that you've lost your mind, because these things, they can't spiritually discern what's taking place here. So when you see here, look at verse 11 again, for what man knoweth the things of man except or save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. That's capital S, spirit of God. That's his word. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And we do know that. We know that because of his word, what his word tells us. Verse 13, which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now you see what he's saying here is, not in man's words, but in the Holy Ghost's words. Even though it doesn't say, it says not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Well, in other words, it's the words, the Holy Ghost's words, the Spirit. That's how the Holy Ghost is teaching when we are led by the Spirit. We allow that. We look at what the Spirit says, and we go that way, those ways, those paths. That's the way we're to go. And look at what it says in verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. See that? Notice that word, know, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. See, having the knowledge of the things of the Spirit, that's the mind of the Spirit. And when we've seen over there in Romans chapter 8, when it talks about, it says, about what is the, he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. The mind of the Spirit, it's not talking about the Spirit's mind, it's talking about he knoweth what is, he as he searches your heart, he knows if your mind is filled with the things of the Spirit. That's my understanding on this here, is that when it's in Romans chapter 8, we're going to go back there and we're going to look at the verses to confirm that there. But when it says, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And some people would teach here that it's saying what's the mind of the actual Spirit. And we see here what's being taught here is that verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. See, it's talking about the man ought to know something. What the man ought to know, he ought to know the things of the Spirit of God. So if you're to know the things of the Spirit of God, when you have something, some knowledge in your mind, wouldn't that be having the mind of the Spirit? Because as we see, the operation of the Spirit is used to teach you something. It's to teach you something. It's to have you operate upon something. Your inner man ought to be filled with this Spirit. And again, we're going to come back to that verse But let's move on here. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. What that means is, you know, you can make decisions and judge with your mind. That's thinking like the Spirit. That's thinking like the Spirit would have you to think. That's one that can judge all things, spiritual. That means his mind is filled with something. But look at verse 16 here. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And you notice how what being said here about when you're judging something and you know something, how that's spoken of having a mind of the Lord, the mind of Christ. Because having the mind of Christ is having the mind of the Spirit. It's having the mind of the Spirit, and you operate upon that. See, Paul says the mind of Christ based upon what he's trying to get these Corinthians to understand. This is why when you look at the next verse, which is the next chapter, he says he cannot speak to them as spiritual. He tells them about their reward, how they should live their sanctified lives as spiritual. And they get that reward there. And you see that right over there in the next verse, which is actually the next chapter. He calls them babes. Now let's come over to 2 Corinthians. Let's come over to 2 Corinthians. And let's look at verse 11. I'd like to cover more than this here, but these verses are familiar unto you, because what I wanted to do while we were going through the sufferings is give you a little bit of the doctrine there. But now when we go back to it, we can understand it better. We can get a better grasp upon it based upon as we've been going step by step in the book of Romans. It gives you a better overall understanding. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and let's look at verse 11 here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and let's look at verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. And we looked at this a couple of weeks back when we looked at that enlarging of the heart that ought to take place with the saint. And that's the way it's designed to do. It's designed to operate, to take place with the saints. And that's what we see taking place here when Paul talks about that enlarging of the hearts, that these saints should come to understand something. Their hearts, they ought to know that God is searching their hearts. They ought to know that what should be in their hearts ought to be the things of the Lord, the things of the Spirit. It ought to be things, the Lord's ways. Our paths ought to be according to his ways. Our enlarging ought to be things according to what he values and esteems, the things he teaches us, how to do things his way, and to labor with him in what he's doing. And again, what he hates out of godly, perfect hatred, we ought to hate those things also. We ought to love those things which he loves. And enlarging our hearts, and we looked at that, it's something that you taking, you cleaning house and emptying and sweeping away all that you've loved in this world, that deceitfully above all things heart that we have, that heart that's desperately wicked, and putting in the things that God loves, that's enlarging your hearts. And we looked at that word straighten, what that meant. When you're straightened in your own bowels, we looked at that as when you look at a body of water, when you have a large body of water and it goes down into a strait, is what it's called, there's a straightening off, meaning it becomes narrow until it can close up. Well, that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying your inner man is getting straightened where it can't take anything in. It can't take any doctrine in. Paul is telling them how you get your bowels to be your inner man to open up more to what he's saying. That's why he says, our mouth is open unto you. He's trying to give them the doctrine. He said the only way to get your bowels, your inner man, your inwards, to be open to what we're saying is you got to enlarge your heart. You have to enlarge your heart. And we've seen the verse over there when it talks about the spirit of man is like a candle unto the Lord, and how he searcheth the belly of the saints there. And this is what is being asked here of the Corinthians, that they be not straightened in their own bowels. But they should be straightened in Paul. They should be taking in what Paul has to say and closing their inner man up to whatever this world has for them. And then he says, verse 13, now for recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Enlarge your heart, enlarge your bowels unto him. And let's look at, come to Proverbs, and let's look at what we talked about earlier about the issue of that the wise heart and how God's heart can rejoice, how it affects our heart, how when our heart is affected by the word of God, how it can actually affect God's heart. Let's go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, and let's look at verse 15. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. You know, when I see that verse there in verse 15, it says, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice. You know, God could have stopped there, but it says, even mine. When I look at that, I say, because when you get there, you say, wow, God's heart can rejoice? And like, hey, yeah, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise. Guide thine heart in the way. Notice it says the way, not in thine own way, but guide thine heart in the way. When you're looking at this here, verse 15, it says, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Now, we ourselves know when we bring our children up, we teach them our way of thinking. We teach them how to do things our way. We teach them how to work together with us in what we're doing. And when our children's heart is wise, it makes your heart rejoice. When they, and also in verse 16, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. And we could understand that. We could understand that when our children, when they come to us, and this is the same thing in how God deals with us in prayer. When our children come to us, they let us know how their day is going. That's the way it is when you first see them. They tell you about things that happen. They tell you about whether it be good or bad, because they want that advice. They want the issue of us to give them knowledge. Now that is the way it ought to be. I'm not saying that's the way it's done all the time, because most people resort to this world. The first thing they do is go on the internet. And they Google, what do you do if, and then they get an answer. Or they go on social media and they see what other people say about things, about life. And they accept that as being their answer. But the wise son and daughter know, they know where to get the wisdom from. They know where to, who they should hear from. As verse 19 says, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise. Guide thine heart in the way." Not just any old way. Not the ways that seem to be going swell. You look over there, then people are rejoicing in themselves because their hearts are deceitfully wicked, and they're going in their own ways. That's not how we're taught to do things. Now, while you're in Proverbs, come back to Proverbs chapter 2. And while we're looking at the ways here, come back to Proverbs chapter 2 and let's take a look at another issue here. And we're going to see about this here. Proverbs chapter 2, let's look at verse 1. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom." Now, that's not just any wisdom, but let me read on here. "So that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom and righteousness for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walketh uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness, judgment, equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom enters into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul." And I could read on and on here about how the word of God does to assist the saint in getting understanding. God's understanding, God's wisdom. So as you see here, verse 2, "so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom." Now that's inclining your ear unto the wisdom of God. And that's similar again as with our children. They can incline their ear onto what this world is teaching. They can apply their heart onto understanding, onto what this world has for them to understand. And you see in verse 3, it says, "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding." That's you wanting. And we've seen when Paul talks about over there in Romans chapter 8 about that crying Abba Father. You're crying after knowledge. You want it. You want it, the knowledge of the Father just that bad. The same way people do today. People cry after knowledge all day long concerning the things of this world. And we see it on a daily basis. They lift up their voice for understanding to what this world has for them to understand. They seek for that as silver and search for that as hid treasures. But you got to understand something, that we're taught that when we enlarge our hearts, when we are not straightened in our own bowels, when we are taking in what the Spirit teaches, and that's the whole issue here, is understanding about how God searches your heart and how that he knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. You'll know that how you ought to walk, how your walk ought to be concerning God's ways. You would spiritually discern between what this world teaches versus what the Holy Ghost teaches. Now let's come over to 2 Corinthians, and then we're going to come back to chapter 8. But let's go to 2 Corinthians first here. 2 Corinthians, and let's take a look at chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of condemnation to you, or letters of condemnation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not with tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust we have through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now, if you look at this here, you see in verse 2, it says, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. And Paul is saying, no, these Corinthians are, he says, ye are our epistle written in our hearts. See, when Paul talked about that enlargement of the heart, and that's how much he has love for those saints. And it says, known and read of all men. And actually, it is. It ought to be. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. And again, when we go over this verse, I always say that this right here is like your heart is the chalkboard there. And what's being written on it ought to be the Spirit of the living God. That's what ought to be written on your hearts. And when it is, you're going to enlarge your hearts to the things that God loves, to the things that he hates. And that's the way it ought to be. That's the way, and you see in verse 6 here, it says, also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter. That's not according to the letter, but of the Spirit, because that's the way we ought to walk. And that's of our spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit, our spirit, giveth functional life. When our spirit has that word of God within it, we operate upon a functional life now, where we can bring forth fruit. Now come back to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to close. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verse 26 and 27 again. Romans 8, verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, what's good? We're going to look at this here. Because that word, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God, that is amplifying upon what was just said. We're going to make sure we get a good handle on what was just said there. And he that searcheth the hearts, God searcheth the hearts, knoweth, God knows what is the mind of the Spirit. And how does he know that? Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. See, God's word, it says he maketh intercession for the saints. We've seen earlier how the Spirit helpeth our infirmity and how that word of God steps in and makes intercession for us when we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But here in verse 27, it says he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, when we've seen in 1 Corinthians 2, what the will of God is and how we know the things freely given to us by God, we've seen how we know that is by the Word of God, the Spirit of God. That's how we know the will of God. So in order for us to know the will of God, we have to have a knowledge of the things of the Spirit. We have to, like in 1 Corinthians it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. We know that's not how he's going to understand it, but it also said, for what man knoweth the things of man, except the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. That's his word, which Holy Ghost teacheth. And this is how we, here in verse 27, this is how we we can understand this. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, when you understand this, and when you understand that, you'll come to understand verse 28, and we know. Now you know something. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. See, and all things will work together for good. But to them that love God, to have that real agape love of God. But again, that searching of the hearts, we see God does that and how he does that. And that knowing, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, that ought to be knowing what you have, what the doctrine you have within you. And that doctrine you have within you ought to be based upon the will of God. And how that's done is done by this intercessory ministry of the Spirit that we have in black and white in front of us. We're looking at the will of God here. We understand from Romans through Philemon pertains to us today. We understand everything else in God's word of truth is written in Israel, but it's for our learning. It's examples and examples for us, not for our obedience, but for our learning. And having that mind of the Spirit is operating upon something according to the will of God. And that's when God searches your heart. He wants to see if you have that mind of the Spirit, if your mind is filled with that knowledge of the Spirit. Because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This is the way it was designed to be. His word was designed to make intercession for you in whatever situation you're going through, whatever type of sufferings you go through. And when you allow God's word to step in and help your infirmities, verse 28 will take place. And we know that all things work together for what? Good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. It did for Paul. Paul knew, and I'm going to give you a little example of what we're going to close, in 2 Corinthians 12, when Paul besought the Lord three times that this thing might depart from him. First thing, what Paul said is, when the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness, Paul said, most gladly therefore. Paul was glad. It worked together for good to him. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. When I'm weak, then Christ's strength is made perfect in my weakness. I'm just paraphrasing that there. But that's what Paul found out. Paul found that out there. He says that, therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. That's love. That's real love. Paul is the one that says to them who are the called according to his purpose. It's his purpose. If it was Paul's purpose, that thing would have been delivered from Paul. He wouldn't have had to beseech the Lord three times. It would have been delivered from him the first time. And I hope we have a good grasp on that there. If not, we're going to go over this. We'll go over that a little bit more next week in introducing verse 28 there that we just went over. We're going to introduce verse 28 and on through verses 31. But we'll open things up for the Q&A. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to press *61. *61 will get you into the Q&A. And, again, this is something that we ought to come to understand. And we're coming to understand these things based upon God's will, not ours. It is God's will that we become the called according to his purpose, that we be ones that he, because he foreknew us, predestinated us, and called, justified us, and glorified us. We are ones who we're going to see here that things will work out together for good, the same way it worked for Paul's good. Now, Paul says, most gladly, therefore. Or he says, therefore, I take pleasure. Paul uses the word gladly and taking pleasure because he knew that the power of Christ may rest upon me, he said. He knew what about that selfless love, and he wants us to understand that same selfless love here that we should understand. And that's what's being said here in verses 26 and 27 and 28 there about God's word will help our infirmities. And as God searches our hearts, he wants to know what the mind, he wants to know what we have in our hearts and how our hearts ought to be designed to go after his ways, his path, according to his will, according to his purpose, not our purpose. Our prayer life ought to be based upon that, telling him what we have learned, telling him how we have come to understand his word, and or how we have not come to understand things that we hope to understand. Go to the caller here, 3366, you're in the queue.
Friends, how are you doing, Pastor Ron?
Pretty good. How are you doing, sister? How you been?
Great. Myself, you're pretty good.
Oh, pretty good.
Okay, I'm just coming on to teach you that thing about God searches the heart. And the personal heart is the inner man, because we don't know what to pray for the spirit about from it to pray. So we don't know what to pray for, but God has us to pray. He prayed for us, right? Hello? Hey, what happened?
Oh, can you hear me?
Okay,
am I coming in clear?
Yeah, you're coming in clear.
Okay. The idea is that the Spirit doesn't pray for us, and that's what some people would, they look at that when it says that likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know now we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. It's not the idea that the Spirit is praying for us, or going to God when we don't know what to pray for. What's being said here is that God's word, when we don't know what to pray for as we ought, that word of God is quick and powerful, able to divide us under the soul and the spirit. We take God's word when we don't know what to pray for as we ought, and we base everything that we're praying about according to his word. So, because if think about that, if the Spirit was actually doing that, if the Holy Ghost was at the right hand of God and said, hey, or well, not the right hand, but if the Holy Ghost would say, hey, I know what they meant to say, this is what they really meant to pray for, that wouldn't be, that's not how God, a father to son relationship should work, that we would, you'll never have the opportunity to use your sonship. Because that's it. Your sonship is based upon your decision-making upon God's word, not the Spirit saying, well, hold on. Because we would never have to read God's word if that worked that way, where the Spirit would step in. See, Paul didn't know what to pray for as he ought. But because of what the Lord told him, he got that word, and then he knew what to pray for. But see, yeah, but that doesn't work that with us in that sense that we don't know what to pray for. He's going to speak audibly to us and tell us. We already have everything written down in our Bibles for each and every situation that we have.
Absolutely. Romans
2,
right?
How do you hear you?
Romans 2, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, can you hear me? I'm on my Bluetooth. I need to take it off. I'm on my Bluetooth. I mean, can you hear me now?
You're kind of breaking up. You're breaking up. I can hear every other word. Yeah, you're still breaking up pretty bad.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, if I can.
Okay. Well, that our word is, Hebrew 4:12, the Lord put the foundation with four, but our word is written in the wrong zombie. So that's what we go through for us, right?
Wow. You know, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I really can't hear you still. You're breaking up really bad. I'm sorry.
Okay, hold on. Let me take this out. Oh, my God. Can you pronounce that wrong?
Yeah, let me see. Yeah, I can hear you. I don't know if you're going to be breaking up, but I hear you a little better now.
Okay, you hear me a little bit better now?
Yeah, just a little better. You're still breaking up a little bit, but it's a little better than it was before. Wow.
Okay.
No, it's still breaking up. I'm sorry. It's still breaking up. Yeah, still breaking up.
Oh, shoot. That's all right, then. I put it off last time. But anyway, I did enjoy the teaching that I had done for you a while, but I've been listening to that. And I still did enjoy it.
Okay. Well, yeah. Again, I heard every word of not every word, but every other word. I tell you what. If you want, I think I heard you say that you can. You'll ask next time the question and things like that, and you appreciate the teaching and sonship and things like that.
Yes.
I believe that's what I heard you say. But I didn't hear you. Well, I'll tell you what. If you want, you can give me a call after the study's over, and I can answer the question because I can't hear if you're breaking up bad.
Okay, I just didn't know where to clear, and I have it all clear on next week. Okay. Thank you, Pastor Ron. I appreciate it. I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem. No problem. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Okay. Yeah, that's one thing about technology and man. You know, man says they do things, but again, there's there's times when phone breaks will break up and things like that, which shows man's inability to be perfect when they come up with technology and things like that. You think what we do, it ought to be in a perfected way, but we know God's the only one that's perfect. So with that, I'm going to close.